And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sidney Wildsmith.
With less than 6 months left in office, it appears that this administration's commitment to change the nature of America's public lands is moving into high gear as secret deals are being struck behind closed doors that could redefine whose interests are served by the agencies mandated to protect and preserve our public lands. So what's behind those closed doors? We find out when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
With the 4th of July behind us, a celebration of our nation's great vision of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, it makes today's story even more timely, as we witness again attempts by the administrators of the public trust held sacred in our public lands being bartered away in secret meetings which preclude what many would assume is the people's right to have input on decisions which can affect them for years. Unfortunately, secret deals and a lack of not only transparency, but accountability continues to permeate so much of the seemingly aristocratic style of governance that defines the current administration. One could hope that with such a record of disaster due to insider deals amongst powerful friends, whether it be with oil company executives or an incompetent appointment to head FEMA, a sense of duty to the American people might eventually emerge. Shockingly, recent revelations about secret deals between the administrator of the U.S. Forest Service, Mark Wray, himself a long-standing lobbyist for the timber industry, and the country's largest private landholder, Plum Creek, appear to support the belief that as this president's term comes to an end, the pace, scope, and nature of these insider deals may, in fact, be on the rise. In today's show, we will be referring to Mark Wray. Mr. Wray is the Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment, United States Department of Agriculture. As Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment, Mark Wray directs the programs and activities of the U.S. Forest Service and the Natural Resources Conservation Service. He is responsible for the management of 156 national forests, 19 national grasslands, and 15 land utilization projects on 191 million acres in 44 states. Wray came to this position having been one of the timber industry's leading lobbyists. He was, for example, the key architect of Senator Craig's 1997 version of the National Forest Management Act, which would have eliminated citizen oversight and made timber harvest levels mandatory and enforceable while making environmental standards unenforceable policies. Mr. Wray helped develop Senator Craig's plan to stall the roadless initiative until the new Bush administration could take office, requiring a congressional oversight committee to investigate how the policy came about, effectively delaying enactment for at least a year. He authored the infamous Salvage Rider of 1995, which exempted logging in our national forests from all environmental laws and compelled the logging of thousands of acres of old-growth forests in the Pacific Northwest. He stated in 1991, quote, "Claims that our forests are being overcut are simply not true. Not one forest in the entire national forest system has come close to meeting the timber harvest levels called for in its forest plans." Wray was also a featured speaker at the 1993, 94, 96, and 98 Fly-In for Freedom, an annual event held by the Wise Use umbrella organization Alliance for America. In 1998, Wray suggested getting the attention of the U.S. Forest Service by limiting the agency's budget to custodial management. The mission of the Wise Use movement, as expressed by one of its founders, Ron Arnold, is, and I quote, "to destroy, to eradicate the environmental movement. We want to be able to exploit the environment for private gain absolutely." So with that, we head into the latest Ray initiative as he holds the keys to America's natural treasury as administrator of the U.S. National Forest Service. I've been to Montana. It is God's country, and I can remember years ago when I drove through Montana, you'd very rarely see many homes at all, and that was part of the wonder of the grand open space. Well, that's all changed since then. Population has increased. Places like Montana have been discovered, and much of the beauty is being implanted with beautiful homes. Some people refer to them as McMansions, and that's just the way it is. But there are levels to this, and there's been an event that's happened in the last few weeks here that really, I think, needs to be addressed. This has to do with a meeting held in Montana with local residents and politicians, county people, and state people concerning a change that was being arranged between the Forest Service, one of the directors of the Forest Service, and as well a company called Plum Creek. And it's a fascinating history. And a number of people attended that meeting with Mark Ray, who is the Undersecretary of Agriculture, about some secret meetings that were held. And unfortunately, this becomes part of the legacy of the current administration to perhaps work some deals that the public should know about. Today, we're going to talk with Joe Brenneman, who is a county commissioner in Flathead County and was at that meeting. Joe, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you very much.
Joe, let's talk a little bit about you. Have you lived all your life in Montana?
I have. I'm a fourth-generation individual in Montana. I'm a dairy farmer. My dad was a dairy farmer. My grandfather were both farmers and loggers. Great-grandfather is the one who came here, getting close to 100 years ago now.
Talk a little bit about Flathead County. What's the nature of the community there?
Well, Flathead County is 5,000 square miles, so it's as big as the state of Connecticut, I believe. It's
wow.
The third biggest county in Montana.
Hmm.
We have the largest freshwater lake west of the Mississippi. Part of the county is in the Great Bear Wilderness, Bob Marshall Wilderness, and, of course, everything west of the Divide and Glacier National Park. So the largest privately owned area landmass is in a valley called the Flathead Valley, named for the Indians who used to live in the area on the white men came, they observed some unusual customs having to do with the foreheads of the Indians, and they named them the Flathead Indians, and the name has stuck for all kinds of things out here.
Let's try to move a little bit forward here. What you're dealing with these days is the largest landholder in the country, literally, but as well, I have to imagine, in Flathead County. Can you talk a little bit about Plum Creek, which is the company that we're going to talk more about?
Well, certainly. Plum Creek has been here for a long time, since the mid-1940s, I believe, is when they first came in. Right now, they own a little over 250,000 acres in Flathead County. All of that is what most of us consider timberland. They purchased some of that, but it was largely given to Burlington Northern Railroad in exchange for building the Transcontinental Railroad. And, of course, when it became advantageous, BN spun that off into the timber side of their company, separated that on paper at least, and then subsequently formed a real estate investment trust, which allows them to not pay taxes here in Montana on the profits from the real estate business.
Well, that's an advantage, isn't it?
To them.
Yeah, good point. Just for listeners who may not be aware of this, you talked about the fact that this land was provided to the railroads and probably 1850s or so, they were given that land to help finance the evolution of the railroads across the country, and they kept that land, and they didn't sell it all, and so here we are 100 and some years later, and they still own that land, and they're starting to parcel it off and make a lot of money from those sales. Part of the issue here is the fact that in order to get to these lands, they worked arrangements with the Forest Service so they could cut roads in, so that they could harvest their timber, because prior to Plum Creek being a development company, it was actually a timber company. That's kind of the historical basis for where we are today, isn't it?
Yeah. Fortunate or unfortunate, a lot of this land was given in a checkerboard fashion, 1 square mile Forest Service, 1 square mile Plum Creek, or Champion. They weren't the only ones who got land. They have subsequently purchased all the other lands, timberland, corporate land. But it was given to them in a checkerboard fashion, which means that for them to reach Section X, they might have to cross Section Y of Forest Service. and due to topography and other factors, that might be the only road in. And so they made a deal with the Forest Service back in the 60s, I believe it was. They said, look, the Forest Service, you know, you've got a road in here, you're harvesting timber. How about if in the years when we harvest timber, we will pay a pro rata based upon how many truckloads we haul out, or some formula like that,
mm-hmm.
percentage repair for that Forest Service road. And then for the next 30 years, of course, when they aren't harvesting timber, it takes a long time for a tree to grow out here, you know, they don't pay anything. They only pay on the years that they're using it. And the Forest Service, understandably, thought, well, that's better than what we're getting now, which is nothing. So they agreed to those easements, a cost-share easement, it's called.
The issue of roads on public lands, forest lands, has always been an issue, particularly as it relates to preserving wilderness areas. And as we all know, particularly people who live in the backwoods, once a road is in there, you're going to increase the traffic. And so that did happen, though, and it was to help support the removal of timber. But now something is changing, and this now gets to the issue that's facing you and Plum Creek, because there's been an effort to change the nature and status of those roads and repurpose them. Why don't you fill us in on that?
Well, the wording in the easement can be construed, and actually, depending on who you talk to, it seems pretty plain. It says something to the effect, to be used for all reasonable access, or all access deemed necessary, or words to that effect, anyway. It mm-hmm. never specified to be used for timber harvest. Mm-hmm. And whether that was an oversight, or people with much more foresight than I have thought that at some point they might want that, immaterial, although I do think there's substantial amount of evidence that indicates that, in fact, they didn't even think of that as being an option. And certainly growing up in this area, hunting and fishing and crow using, on Plum Creek lands and Forest Service lands, the idea that some of this land that is now being developed for residential use would ever be used as such would and is inconceivable to those of us who, you know, knew what it was like around here even 20 years ago, let alone 40. And so, you know, Plum Creek and the Forest Service, Mark Ray in particular, I guess, have been working to clarify exactly what that language means, which is all fine and dandy. I understand the need to do that. And apparently neither side wishes to have this decided in court. But my concern as a county commissioner is that in the understanding that I have of the language to date, the counties are very likely to be held holding the bag if things don't work out. As a county commissioner, my perception of dealings with Plum Creek has been the county frequently is left holding the bag. We've had numerous developments that Plum Creek has done out here, large residential developments, and it seems as if they are willing to do the bare minimum for the most part. And frequently there were times when, in my opinion, they could have done the good neighbor thing, done the right thing, set an example of how we can share not only the wealth but the responsibility for some of these developments. And so far they've been much more willing to pay attorneys to litigate than put money into helping Flathead County taxpayers.
We'll explore that from the perspective of a county commissioner in just a moment. But let's now talk about what is being proposed. That is to say that within these forests, now there are huge developments being planned that, as you say, 20 years ago, no one ever imagined such a thing would be possible. But these are very, very substantial developments catering to a relative elite. Not that that's an issue. That's not the issue exactly, but just that it's really changing the nature of your community there.
Definitely.
And share some of the thoughts that you have or that you're hearing from people around you, some of the concerns, because a lot is changing and some of it is not a good change, and particularly as it relates to our communities and the sense of what it means to be an American or live out in a rustic area and carry out a rancher's lifestyle or whatever. These things are being radically impacted by some of these decisions.
Yeah. Let me first of all clarify that I don't have any problem with Plum Creek. They legally own the land. They have a right to do with the land what is legal to do. And individuals within Plum Creek are good to work with. Unfortunately, the people that I know here in the Flathead aren't the ones often who make the decisions. Those are the people in Seattle, and I guess they don't care. comes down to the bottom line. To address your question, you know, as a commissioner, not only do we have, well, as a hunter, you know, there's concerns about the access to public land, but, you know, Plum Creek has been very, very good about letting people use it. So that issue might be a casualty that's neither here nor there for this discussion. But the issue is, if someone builds, you know, if we have 80 homes go in on 600 acres, or for simplicity's sake, 60 homes on 600 acres, they each get 10 acres, you know, usually we use the figure of 10 car trips a day. So that's, you know, a lot of car trips, 600 car trips a day on a road that to this point has probably had none, or very, very few. They also are going to demand emergency services, fire protection, all that kinds of stuff. And these aren't the kinds of people who are like those of us who have lived out here a long time. We understand that if the snowplow doesn't come for 3 days that we get by, these people expect their roads to be plowed, you know, by 7:30 in the morning, because they might want to go to town for a latte or something. And, you know, true. That is a tremendous strain on the county road budget at a time when, quite frankly, we're facing a close to a 20% reduction in federal aid.
These homes are very much considered McMansions. These are big, big-scale homes.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
They frequently are homes larger than what I live in, that's for sure.
Well, people are talking about three-story log cabins. And, hey, they're beautiful. I'm not denigrating that. It's just the fact that, you know, as you say, when you have 600 cars a day traveling on a road that used to have a pickup truck and a dog and its owner up the road maybe once every couple of days or so, the demand and maintenance on that road increased tremendously. And I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, there are the agreements that are being worked out between the U.S. Forest Service and Plum Creek are suggesting that paved roads are sort of at the option of the Forest Service and Plum Creek to decide. Am I right about that?
I'm not exactly sure about the specifics of that. I do know that the Forest Service has agreed that if they form a homeowners association to take care of the road that travels through the Forest Service land, then that's okay with the Forest Service. They feel that the issue has been addressed. From the county's perspective, we know that homeowners associations are notoriously unable to get things done. They fall apart, and there's nobody left to do it, except for all of these 60 homes in there, you know, half of whom perhaps happen to be retired attorneys. And they say, wait now, the county gave us approval to build back here. They approved our preliminary plat. Therefore, they are the ones who should be responsible for providing this road in here. Our homeowners association has failed. We can't force anybody to do it if they don't want to. But we're going to sue the county and make them do it. We feel vulnerable from that perspective, because in the past, courts have said, yeah, if you approve a preliminary plat, you are giving at least tacit approval to providing services to that area. And that is something that I don't want to put the county taxpayers on the hook for that.
Well, that has been used in any number of cases where someone will say, well, you approved it, which is what you're saying. And if you had an issue, you should not have approved it, period.
That's right.
You know, what has happened is, and this is where the story deepens a bit here, there apparently have been meetings going on between Mark Ray, U.S. Forest Service, and Plum Creek for quite some time, and unfortunately, the public was really not involved in that. And only recently have you been appraised of the fact that these have been going on, and so you're asking now to have little input. What's been happening with that?
Well, you're right. I just kind of found out about it by accident around the first of the year. I was given some information that was going on, and then coincidental to that, the county commissioners in Missoula County became aware of it, and they really are the ones who really pushed it, set up the meeting with Mark Ray, and they have the same sorts of concerns that we do, perhaps even more. That's how it came to light. And then Missoula County was actually dealing with Plum Creek on one level, unaware that behind closed doors, they were talking to the Forest Service about something altogether different.
Can you fill me in on that?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what Missoula was talking about Plum Creek. They were negotiating with Plum Creek about how to go about providing, you know, planned, orderly development on their land. Mm-hmm. One of which is, of course, you know, providing legal and physical access to those lands. And so they were talking with Plum Creek about that, and then found out that, in fact, Plum Creek was working on these cost-share agreements with the Forest Service, which would have, if not nullified, certainly overridden what they were doing in their negotiations. But again, you'd need to talk to the to the Missoula County Commissioners to find out for sure the details on that.
Well, of course, one of the big issues is just the fact that all of this is being done behind closed doors, and historically, for lots of reasons, public input was a part of the process. Do you feel that you've really been sort of locked out of these meetings?
I'm sure that had we not found out about it the way we did, we would not have been invited. I'm very sure that the Undersecretary Ray and Plum Creek very much hoped to have this thing signed, and perhaps they even have signed it already, I don't know, without public scrutiny. And then the signed agreement could have been put forth, and of course it would have been upon the backs of the county taxpayers to say, wait, we don't think this is fair, we're going to sue over it. And again, we have the county taxpayers footing the bill for something that should at least be shared by such a large landowner.
This is an issue in many situations where communities, smaller communities, are required to provide services based on mandates by federal regulations or changes in regulations. And this is a unique form of that, where it's not just a matter of a regulation being changed, but a deal being struck.
Yeah, our regulations, our subdivision regulations require, you know, primary and secondary access in case of emergency. And thus far, the Forest Service story has been, well, we don't give permanent easements on our roads. We aren't a road-building organization. We provide roads to administer the forest, and if that administration is no longer needed, we might very well close these roads out, so we can't give permanent easement to this land. And now all at once we discover that, in fact, there seems to be the chance that they would consider do so or are considering to do so in this one instance.
Well, of course, that becomes the basis of precedent, and then everybody else in the world can claim the same right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think, if this is my take on this, that that's exactly what the effort is here, to set that precedent, because then you always have to fight it from that point onward. That becomes probably impossible. There were things said in the meeting by Mr. Ray that I think took everybody by surprise. It's almost as if one gets the feeling that this was a done deal, and that he really wasn't open to really having input, as would be the case in sort of a legal proceeding, but rather giving you a chance to say something. As a matter of fact, that's a nearer quote.
Yeah, that's the perception I got, that we weren't partners to this deal, but just out of courtesy and being nice, he came out and listened to us and basically told us it was up to them and it was, they were going to do what they thought was best.
It's a tough one for you guys. Where does it go from here?
Well, we're having a meeting in Missoula this Thursday. As a part of the Farm Bill, our Senator Max Baucus has made arrangements for a considerable amount of money to be made available to purchase Plum Creek lands, and it's called the Montana Legacy Project, I think. And in conjunction with the Nature Conservancy and Trust for Public Lands, they have made arrangements to purchase somewhere in the neighborhood of 230,000 acres or something like that. And so we're meeting with the Missoula County Commissioners and the other interested Western County Commissioners in Missoula on Thursday to find out more details about the Montana Legacy Project, but also I suspect the cost-share easement will come up as well.
But how is the state weighing in on this? I know you have a Democratic governor, and has he made any statements about this particular deal coming down?
Not that I know of. I actually haven't talked to anybody in the state government at all. Perhaps I should.
I'll maybe have to call his office. I happened to hear him speak a while ago, and he seemed like a real nice guy, a real fun guy.
He's a kick.
Yeah, he is. A wonderful politician. I mean, that in a sense, in a positive way, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this just feels as if this is kind of the, potentially there's going to be a change in administration here, and this is kind of like a last gasp effort to take as much as they can and change these regulations before someone else comes in. As a matter of fact, that was one of the Missoula County Commissioner, Gene Curtis.
Gene Curtis, yeah.
Kind of caught Mr. Ray when he said that he'd be happy to address the legislature about these issues, and she said, well, yeah, except that you're probably not going to be in office when they meet next year. So again, he's kind of a sweet talking guy. Is that what are your perceptions of what his motivations are?
Oh, I think he's just doing the job that he has been told to do, and I think his orders come from above him, and he understands who signs his check and who he works for, and he's very, very good at putting forth that the position that they have chosen to take on this. Whether, you know, the actual arrangements that have been struck, I don't know if we'll ever find those out.
Well, that was also another issue. People asked to be able to see some of the written languaging, and he kind of suggested that that really wasn't necessary.
He certainly did, yes. He said, yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, we're taking care of that, which, of course, made us all feel very confident and warm and comfortable with that. You know, we're asked to approve easements that we're not allowed to see the language of.
But how in the world can he really say that straight-faced and believe that you folks are supposed to just... I don't exactly know. Unfortunately, it feels too often as if some of these folks assume that we're all kind of stupid.
Well, wasn't that kind of the whole premise of George Orwell's 1984, that say a lie often enough, it becomes the truth, and people accept it? So.
Well, I think that that is... I mean, I see a photograph here of the county commissioners and different people at this hearing, and my heart goes out to these people. They're folks, you know. They're people who have lives and are trying to do the best they can, and these decisions are being made regardless of what the impact this may have on them. And it's to me, it's the wrong direction for America, to be honest. This is
We're pretty ordinary people, you know. I'm talking to you standing out here in my hayfield waiting for my tractor to get fixed so I can go back to work. The other county commissioners are pretty much, you know, we are the citizen politicians, pretty much. There aren't very many of us who just county commission for a job unless we're retired, in which case we had a whole other career. We aren't a bunch of skilled politicians with a whole lot of staff and training and legal expertise to stand up to Plum Creek, who does have all of that.
Now, you know, as so often happens in these kinds of controversies, there are other people who might like Plum Creek coming in there because, of course, it's going to mean jobs and different things. But I know Montana is unique. And give me a sense of when walking down the street, meeting in the diners and the coffee shops, what's the talk on the street about this?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I am an anomaly on our county commission. Got here with a strange set of circumstances. I'm not sure the other two, they do agree with me on this cost share because of the implications for the county. There is certainly a gratitude for the jobs that Plum Creek has given. However, those of us who have followed a little bit more in depth really have questions about why they protest their taxes, why School District 6, the biggest one, or the school district in the area where Plum Creek has the mill, had to sue the state because Plum Creek kept protesting their taxes and wouldn't pay and placed the school district in a financially bad spot. You know, it's frustrating, and even some of the people who work for Plum Creek don't have a whole lot of good to say about how they were treated. But on the other hand, you could find people who that's the job that their parents had, and they're happy to be working there. They pay a good wage. The sad part is that I think that we could have both, just a little more commitment to be a good neighbor and to do the right thing and not to be forced into doing these things. If we can legally hold their feet to the fire, well, then they'll do it, but to do the right thing seems to be not something addressed by corporate America on a very overall basis.
Well, I happen to know that in the West, honor and integrity is a really huge, it's thick in the air there. Deals are struck with a handshake, and that's a good deal. And if it's not, there's a reputation that people carry around from that point forward. And I think that's a good way to have things happen, and that people should be honest. I think the sad part of this story is the fact that Plum Creek does have a reputation for getting their foot in the door and then changing the deal. And I think that's probably one of the big concerns here, too, is that once these houses come in and developments happen and the roads are put in, what comes next? The same thing is true. One of my big issues is what's happened in Kentucky and Tennessee. They started out with what they called strip mining for coal, which they'd kind of come around and just hit the seams at the edges, and now they're taking off the entire mountains. And whole regions are destroyed. Not that that's going to happen in your backyard, but that the nature of your space and your lifestyle, which I personally think is a glorious way of life and represents really the backbone of America in small towns all across America, is really being threatened by this corporatization.
Yeah, you have a point. There's, you know, again, the people who work for Plum Creek are people who seem to be mostly decent people, and I get along with them. I respect them. I don't always understand their thinking, but I don't suppose they always embrace mine either. It's a real challenge.
I imagine this is headed to the courts if you guys can afford it.
Well, Missoula County commissioners have told me, you know, that they certainly would consider that if these easements were to be filed.
Mm-hmm.
The that they would refuse to record them. Now, whether or not that's a possibility and how far they would get and the resources they would need to do that, I'm not sure where that might go. But
that's interesting. They would refuse to record them. That's an interesting power on the ground. Very interesting.
Yeah, we do have the right to refuse to record an illegal document.
That's interesting. That's great. I like that concept. We're talking with, by the way, with Joe Brenneman. He's a county commissioner in Flathead County, Montana. And Joe, I'm going to wish you great luck, and I'll try to track on this story. And I'm just curious, you mentioned you're a dairy farmer and you're trying to get your tractor fixed. Whatever you can share about what's happening to your community in terms of cost of oil these days and how it's impacting the small farmers.
Well, I'm certainly hoping for a record crop, or else this might be my last year, because the inputs, have been extraordinarily high. We just had my local processing plant close down June 12th, June 13th of this year. So for 44 years now, we've been hauling our milk about 6 miles to get processed locally, and now it goes 250 miles to Bozeman, Montana, over the Continental Divide. And
that doesn't work, does it? I mean, how in the world?
Well, it's a cooperative. Yeah. It's all the producers going together, and since it is a cooperative, they subsidize the freight. So I pay the same as somebody a lot closer, and they need the milk. They want to use Montana milk, and since they are dairy producers, I understand. And so far, I just started with them. We'll see how it goes, but yeah, it's challenging.
People talking about perhaps the fact that you're not going to see as much tourism coming through.
I don't know. I had to wait in Main Street a long time today to get home with the tourists plugging things up.
Well, maybe they're all driving Priuses.
This is the last year. Maybe they think they can do it. They're all going to do it this year. I don't know.
Well, Joe, thanks so much. I don't want to take any more of your time. You got your tractor fixed yet or not?
Pretty close, I think.
Okay. Joe, thanks a lot. We'll talk again soon. They were talking with Joe Brenneman, who's the county commissioner with Flathead County. Joe, good luck, and help you have a great summer.
Thank you.
People around the world are trying to cope with the changes being wrought from the miracles of the age of technology. Amazingly, somehow, we do change. Most recently, we've witnessed the most massive social realignment in our lifetimes as America suddenly begins to champion, in its own unique ways, a renewed commitment to the environment. From the devastating effects of our oil addiction is growing now a new identity as we grow into a clean energy nation. It will happen. It will take time. We have no choice. And the insider deals, which have been such a sordid legacy of the current administration, hopefully will emerge from an addiction to greed to a commitment to clean, free, open, people-friendly solutions. Because that is what the world needs, now more than ever. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios. Until we meet again next Tuesday or any time on the archives, when your voice of the earth rings out around the world, here on the Wild Side News.